think I didn't speak much about what happened after the Trump victory, but I know I shouldn't be shocked, and I shouldn't be shocked by what happens in the world afterward. I know that my wife in her office at JCFS had a safe place for everybody, for them to sit and discuss openly what was happening, how they feel the world's going to go, and that there were two days of meetings, a total of 7 hours, in which people got to discuss their feelings with others on how they felt about this. But this literally has turned college campuses into kindergartens. What do I mean by kindergarten? The University of Michigan Law School announced a post-election self-care event with food and play, including coloring sheets, Play-Doh, positive card making, Lego, and bubbles with your fellow law students. They're not even pretending anymore. They're not even pretending. They know they're a bunch of babies. They literally know they're a bunch of babies. Embarrassed by the attention, University of Michigan Law scrubbed the announcement from its website, perhaps concerned that people would wonder whether its graduates would require Legos and bubbles in the event of stressful litigation. That is absolutely... These are lawyers. They're future lawyers. And that's what you have. Stanford University. We're talking up there, top 10, top 15 universities in the world. Stanford University emailed its students and faculty that psychological counseling was available for those experiencing uncertainty, anger, anxiety, and or fear following the election. That was University of Michigan as well. They did that on Flint's campus. They did the exact same thing. The University of Pennsylvania, this is President-elect Trump's alma mater, created a post-election safe space with puppies and coloring books. This is an Ivy League school. That's an Ivy League school. This is the world that we're in. That's the world. These are your future leaders, America. They're playing with coloring books at the age of 19 to 22 and petting puppies with baristas, giving them nice, warm drinks to make sure that they're going to be okay. That the person that they didn't want elected, to make sure that they're going to be okay with the person that they didn't want elected being elected. It's almost impossible to give a schmooze on Mr. Nefesh. It's like we're in the exact opposite, like a mirrored world of where they are. They're in a world where you turn yourself into a child when you don't get, a petulant child when you don't get what you want. And we're in a world where, let's give up a little bit in order to get something a little bit better. Let's lose ourselves a little bit. We have in this week's parsha such an opportunity for growth. The Akedah Yitzchak. How does a person sacrifice his child for God? How does a person get to the point where he's willing to lose everything he has for God? This is not just stam. People have been Moser Nefesh before without a nevuah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, without a Kadosh Baruch Hu telling me to do something. This is more. This is changing Avraham Avinu's entire lifestyle. His entire world is turning around. He has been a person who has been preaching for years. God doesn't want your children to be sacrificed. God doesn't want you to be killed. God doesn't want this and that. This does not need to happen. For years he's been telling people this. And now all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes up to him and says, here's what I want you to do. Here's what you have to do. I want you to sacrifice your child. And he has to go tell people that. He's going to lose everyone. And I'm telling from my own. I don't know if he ever had any Talmidim after this. How did the Talmidim know what happened up there? Maybe they found out, Arvinu told them, well yeah, sometimes God tells you to self-sacrifice, and you have to be willing to do it, even if it's going to kill your child. And they looked at him like, you're crazy. Maybe they all left him at that point. Maybe he had no Talmidim left at that point. Maybe Eliezer ben Avraham picked up and left. He went with them, and he said, I'm done. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Arvinu changed everything about himself with the Akedah. This is not just a test. This was losing everything. How can you get there? How can you get yourself to that point? To be willing to lose everything like that. Now, every single person that's sitting here has probably thought to themselves at some point, if only God would tell me what to do. If only I'd get a directive straight from a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, here's what you need to do. Here's the job. Here's what I want. This is what I want from you. And then you'd say, then I'll do it. Of course. I'll do everything he tells me to do. Why wouldn't I do everything I would do?
And the truth is that it's a very simple view of looking at how life works. Let's be honest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes up to me and tells me in a nevuah, I want you to leave your wife, leave my wife, leave my kids, leave the yeshiva, leave all Chicago, go to Israel. I want you to be a hermit. You're going to sit up there in a cave in northern Israel, somewhere near Tzfas or Tveria. You're going to sit there in a cave. I'm going to make sure that you have fruit inside the cave and water that flows outside the cave. And you're going to eat fruit. You're going to drink water. You're going to stay away from human habitation for the rest of your life. And that's your job. That's going to be easy for me to do. I'm just going to be like, done, I'm out. I'm going to get up and go. There's no way. There is absolutely no way that I would be so easygoing. I wish I could say to myself, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, it's in a nevuah, so of course I'm going to listen. And I would say to myself, there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell me that. But Avraham lived that way as well. There's no way God would tell me to sacrifice my kid. And he knew that when he got that nevuah, and remember, nevuah doesn't come in crystal clear form. You're seeing it in pictures. There's no question that Avraham's first thought should have been, this is crazy. But he didn't listen to anything. By Yashkem Avram Booker, he got up early in the morning, he saddled his own donkey, he ran out. I don't even know if he waited for Yitzhak. Yitzhak, come meet me. I'm starting, you come with me. I don't know. I know that we all think to ourselves, it'll be awesome when Mashiach comes. There's a person that I'm dealing with right now who unfortunately is not doing so well mentally. And there have been issues with it, what he needs to do and where he needs to go. And he called me up from the place that he's staying at, and he told me, I just want Mashiach to come. I just want Mashiach to be here right now. Wouldn't you really think that Mashiach is going to come and everything is just going to change like that? Like all of a sudden, you think it's going to be easy for Mashiach to come? The puppet's kind of had a bag by the door with his suit, and I don't know, whatever else he had inside there, probably a safer couple of times, right? Sitting by the door, so when Mashiach comes, he'll be able to pick it up and go out. There is no way I'm going to do that. There's no way. Mashiach comes right now and says, let's go, guys. Well, my kids are at school. My wife, I don't know where she is, somewhere. Right? Well, what am I going to do? What? Nope, just go. Walk to O'Hare Airport right now. Everybody will meet you there. What about my stuff? Do I have to bring another suit? I wouldn't have worn this suit today. I have a better suit. I have something better. Is somebody going to go home? Well, I got a better idea, God. I have a much better idea. How about I go home, pack up two bags. I'll just do two. And I'll grab those two bags, right? And then I'll come. I'll empty out my fish tank. I'll cryogenically freeze all my fish, right? I'll make sure that all that's there. I'll take care of all the food and everything. How about that? Is that a better idea? I think that's a better idea. But you think, no. God would tell me to do it. I'm going to go ahead and do it. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. We're not ready for that. There's no way. So how do we get to that point? How in the world are we going to get to the point where we have a bag sitting by the door where the Chofetz Chaim can literally pick himself up? Chauffeur, I'm out. Takes up the bag and just walks outside the house and starts walking there at the stroll. How do we get there? How are we supposed to get to this point? That's really the entire lesson in the Akedah. You want a real Akedah Yitzchak? It's the willingness to do what God tells me to do at any point without any misses. Nothing else. I'm going to do this and here's what I'm going to do. You know what Rashi says? Rashi gives the answer. He says it in this week's Parsha. After Yitzchak Avinu asks his father, where's the sheep? Where's the ram that we're bringing with us? What are we going to do? How are we going to sacrifice anything when we go to Eretz? So what should we do when we get there? Avinu responds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has provided them with the aisle that they're supposed to have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. Shem Yirul HaSedah L'Ol Avini. You don't have to worry. The Sedah's already taken care of. And then the pasuk ends, Vayilchu Shneim Yachdav. They both went together. Now listen to the line from Rashi. Rashi says, Vayilchu Shneim Yachdav. They both went together. Avram, Shahi Yodea Shaholech Lishkot Isbeno. Avram, who knew that he was going to shepherd his child, Hayaholech B'Ratzon V'Simcha. He was walking with Ratzon and Simcha. Ki Yitzchak, Shalayim Argish Gavra. Like Yitzchak, who had no idea what was going on, no inkling of what was going on. Avram went with Ratzon and Simcha. The Simcha is necessary because you can't get a Nevuah without Simcha. He had to have had Simcha because there were two Nevuahs that he had after this. Number one, to see what place to go to. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told him where to go. He said, El Makom Amoria. And he had to go around and around until finally he saw the Shekhinah on top of somewhere. That's number one. He needed Simcha. And number two, he needs Ratzon. He needs a willingness, the want, the real Russell to do such a thing, to such an extent where it seems that he's equal to Yitzchak, who had no idea what was going on. That's Russell. And we talked about this a little bit for those who were here for a Musarvada night not too long ago. Talked about this a little bit, but the concept of Ratzon is so strong. You want to do something, you're going to do something. I dealt with a phone call last night, and it was a long phone call, and it was unfortunate because I knew how the phone call was going to end before I even started. It was a person calling from New York who's going out with a girl here in Chicago, and there's so many issues. There's a lot of issues. This girl has a bunch of issues. And I knew beforehand there was no way this guy is saying yes. And it was so terrible because I wanted to start off the conversation saying this is going to be a waste of 45 minutes to an hour. And I don't even want to do this because I've got a lot to do tonight and I'm a little afraid that we're just going to waste 45 minutes talking about something that I already know where we're going. This is what's going to be. You're going to say no and it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. But went through with the phone call. And the person said he listed all the issues, the issue of this, the issue of that, and there are, it's a lot of issues, and they're legitimate issues, none of them are small issues, each one was something that he's never even imagined he would go out with a girl that has this issue, and that, and it's five issues all together, all put into one, he just can't imagine it's going to be that way, and I said, I understand, and so he kept asking me, but is the girl worth it? But what do you want me to say? I deal with guys, not girls, I know this girl because of other issues, but I don't know, I can't tell you, I absolutely can't tell you. So he boiled down to it, and he said, the very end, he said, but do I want this to continue? And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm writing about right now. I was in the middle of writing the shmooze because I couldn't, that it was too long. It's like, literally, I'm writing about you right now. If you wanted to make this work, your parents would agree to it, you would realize that these issues are just side issues, you would make it work. If you want it. If you want this, it'll happen. And if you don't want it, even if you don't want it that badly, you're not pushing yourself for it, then it won't happen. It's one of the two. When you want something, it will happen. But he didn't want it. He didn't want it. He wanted to want it. That's where he was. That's where he was holding. He wanted to want it. He knew there were some good things. He knew that it's possible that the good outweighs the bad, but he didn't want it. So it was over. And I wasted 45 minutes. Well, I got 2 minutes of a schmooze out of it, but aside from that, it's pretty much out. The power of your Ratzon, you can't translate that word into willpower. Willpower takes away everything that Ratzon stands for. Ratzon is, it's not the essence of what the word is all about. It stands for you. Who are you and what you want to do? You think to yourself, when you wake up in the morning, you say, I want to go to Shacharis. You want to go to Shacharis. You want to go to Shacharis? You cannot fall back asleep. It is impossible. If you really wanted to wake up, it will not happen. It can't happen. The answer is, you don't really want to go to Shacharis. You want to go to Shacharis, but you don't really want it. You have to bring yourself to the point where the Ratzon is so strong, you can't say no to yourself. You've pushed yourself to the point where there's no choice. I have to do this. That's what real Ratzon is. There's no such thing as sleeping in through your alarm or pretending that your alarm didn't go off that morning because inanimate objects have the ability to make decisions like that. Or that when you swing over, it's amazing, isn't it? I have this as a joke, but it's a 100% true joke. There's no way that most people would be able to, they had a dart, to be able to hit a dart, you know, and hit it in like the middle thing right over there, right? But no matter how tired you are, no matter where you are in the bed, there is no question you have the ability to hit the snooze button on your alarm clock, wherever you are, in some which way. It doesn't matter. Somehow you reach it and you touch it. It happens. You're not looking, you're blind because you have your glasses off. There's no question, you will hit it. It's going to happen. With Ratzon, there is no such thing as a snooze button. You can't. You want to get up, you will get up. If you want to be someone who's a Talmud Chacham, you're going to be a Talmud Chacham. There's no question. I remember when I was a younger kid, I remember someone telling me, I said, I just can't get up, I can't do it. I don't remember if it was a Rebbe or a friend of mine or an older mentor, I don't know who it was. But he told me, he said, you have an inner alarm clock system. You don't need an alarm clock. You don't need it. Go to sleep and say to yourself, I want to wake up at this time and you'll wake up at that time. So I remember, I said to myself, all right, let's try you. I'm going to see if this works. I said, I want to wake up at 7:15 a.m. I said, I want to wake up at 7:15 a.m. Next morning, I woke up at 7:10. And I went right back to sleep. And I woke up again at 8:43. And I went up to the guy afterward, and I said, didn't work. I didn't wake up at 7:15. I didn't wake up. And I never told him. I never told him that I woke up at 7:10. I woke up, I said, I didn't wake up at 7:15. And I didn't. I didn't wake up at 7:15. See, it doesn't work. And I proved to him, see, it's not true. You're not able to do it. But it was true. It was 100% true. And I kept that secret to myself until right now. That's really, I knew. I 100% knew. If a person has their weapon, if you really want to get up, right, you'll do it. But you know what I really wanted to do then? I didn't want to wake up. I really wanted to prove that guy wrong. And I did. I was very good at it. And I showed him afterward. I don't know, maybe that guy went off the dark because of what I told him. Absolutely no idea. I feel bad about that. But at the end of the day, that's not really what I wanted to do. That's that. I can have every excuse. You all could have every excuse in the world. I go to sleep late. I don't like mornings. Mornings don't exist. Right? All of those can definitely be there. But at the end of the day, when I wanted to start a Seder at 7 o'clock in the morning, because I wanted to make sure that there were people there for a minyan that I was trying to start, I made sure that I got up every single morning to get up to go to a 7 o'clock Seder. I know it. I knew that I could do it. I just had no rustum to do it. I didn't want to wake up at earlier than 7 o'clock, at 6:30. I didn't want to, so I didn't. Now I want to, so I do. Too many people just put forth the Rishablus and they say, that's it, that's all. That's all I need to do. I don't need to do anything like that. I will be honest with you. People are going to be fooled by those lies. The lies that you give yourself. I can't do it. There's no way for me to do it. I just can't. It's an impossibility. You aren't going to be fooled, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly not fooled. Your Ratzon is right there, waiting for you. And he knows, what do you really want to do? What do you really want to do? And it's going to be terrible. The same way the Gemara in Taina says that your own handwriting, your own mindset is going to judge you lost his level. You are going to judge yourself in a mirror. And for every single thing you've done, your own Ratzon is going to come into play. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it out. You're going to say, I really wanted it. I really wanted it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you. No, you didn't. See, peace of Yeshua is the third question that's asked to us last level when we, after 120. After 120, we go up to Shemayim. See, peace of Yeshua, did you look forward to the Yeshua? To the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Mashiach to come? Did you look forward to it? That's not just a joke of a question. Did you really want Mashiach to come? Which everybody says, like, yeah! The same way I wanted the Cubs to win the World Series. The same way that I'd like the Bears to become a good team eventually again. Yeah, I want this. I want it. Do you want Mashiach in that way, or do you want Mashiach? If you wanted Mashiach, you'd be doing something every single day to make sure that he came. Do you really want it, or is it just another thing that it's nice? It would be great as long as it works out well for me. That's the question. What happens? Are you going to roll back over, or are you going to try to do something with that? This is the Akedah. There's no such thing, and you can never say, it's just not going well, there's nothing I can do about it. It's not true. You have to change your mindset, your Ratzon, your ability to think this way through, and to say to yourself, what can I do to help myself in this? Habolat Tayer Messiah, and that's not a joke. You try to do something good. You try to do something better, I should say. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you do it. That's the Siyata Dishmaya. It goes the other way as well, but it's post-Chinlo. They'll open it up for you. They're not going to help you. They're going to open it up the door, and they're going to allow you to go through if you want to go through. There's no reason to blame anyone else. There's no reason to think that there's someone else that can help us. It's us. It's up to us. You have a rough zone, you're going to do it. If you really want to do something, you will absolutely do it. Let's say, to end off this ability, let's say you really wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Really. But your parents tell you absolutely not. Let's say you really want to leave yeshiva. But your parents tell you absolutely not. If you wanted to, really wanted to, you would do it. You'd be able to convince your parents. If you really wanted to leave, you would leave. Nothing else really matters. It's up to you. And I've heard people go in both directions in this yeshiva. People saying to me, I want to stay in yeshiva longer, and I wish I was in a yeshiva where I could stay for longer. I've heard people say to me, I don't want to be in yeshiva. I want to go somewhere else. That is not rutzon. You wouldn't talk about it. Your rutzon has to be something that's solid, something that's full. What do you really want to do? What do you really want to say? How do you want this to be? Your life will change if you take this seriously. It's going to be a game changer in every which way. Because this is an akedah. Are you willing to sacrifice everything you have for another directive? You either say yes or no. It's one of the two. And if the answer is no, University of Michigan Law School is looking for some other people to help them with their food and play. You can choose that. It's another good world. You won't have to try hard. You're all smart enough to do very, very well in most other colleges in the country. But you're going to a place where they have food and play. It's your call.